April 10, 2012, City of Daytona Beach, Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I have reviewed the minutes of the March 13, 2012 meeting, have approved them, and executed them. Do we have any announcements that I need to be aware of before we proceed?
I'm aware of.
Very good. That being the case, we'll go directly to our agenda. Case number, or lien review number one, Gloria Gonzalez.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All those representatives from the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right. So, my understanding, our secretary is very graciously trying to contact Ms. Gonzalez, so I guess we'll wait on her case and maybe see if she doesn't show up by the end of the meeting. So, with that, we'll go to case number two, Roy and Janet P. Lesage.
Yes, my name is Barbara Collins. I'm with the City of Daytona Code Enforcement. We're here for case number SMG 12-11-125 with Roy and Janet Lesage versus the city. As of yesterday, I did a reinspection. The contractor was supposed to have had the wall painted on the south side. It was not done as of Monday, yesterday. And
this was the guy that needed some kind of help to get to the top of the building.
Yeah, he was saving his money to...
The last part that needed to be painted.
Right.
All right. What's the city's...
Well, I was recommending 25, capped at 10, and then we could review it in a lien review and, you know, at a later date.
We heard from the property owner?
No, I called him, and he's obviously out of town. He does work out of town, so... I have not heard back from him as of this morning. I don't know if he's at the mercy of the contractor not showing.
So he hasn't been trying to contact you?
He called me, and we did speak last week, and it was supposed to be done by the weekend, is what the owner told me.
And when did you last inspect the property?
Yesterday morning. That's when this photo was taken on the 9th. And it's not bad. I mean, you can see the little bit of in the up by the soffit. I mean, the fascia. But it's all they have left to do.
I mean, isn't this like 5% of all the work you had to do that remains left undone?
Right. That's why I'm kind of torn because I haven't heard from him, so I don't know if the contractor didn't show for him or...
I'm going to amend our current amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until May 2 to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $50 per day will commence and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, or the amount of the lien has reached the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, case number two. Stamenko and Dusenka Angelov. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing any response. What say the city?
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG 011213, City of Daytona Beach versus Stamenko and Dusenka Angelov at 503 North Ridgewood. Currently, there has been progress on the property. There's still quite a bit left to go. Obviously, they still have lots of painting to do throughout the building. They've got junk vehicles in the back. They have made good progress. I have had no contact with the property owner, so I would like to amend to the May cutoff.
Okay. You say they still have a lot of work to do?
Yes. Most of the work is cosmetic at this point, though. They've gotten the majority of the work done.
All right. Based on the report of and recommendation of the inspector, I will go ahead and amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondents to May 2, 2012 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, thank you. Case number 3, Daniela and Gabriel Paul is in compliance. Case number 4, Judith Antrim. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, we'll say the city.
This property remains in non-compliance.
Excuse me, let me start over. Okay, my name is John Stinson, code enforcement inspector with the city of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG 16. Property address is 110 Botifer South, Tan Buildings. The violations were commercial appearance standards, paint, screens, decorative features, shutters, outside storage, smoke detectors, interior doors, exterior doors, plumbing fixtures, entryways, roof, light fixtures, peeling paint, screens, and quite a bit of other things. The only progress has been made is the exterior of the buildings have been painted. My last inspection was on 4-4. I issued a stop work order because there was quite a bit of work going on the inside. No permits pulled. At this time, the city will be asking for $100 per day to be capped at $20,000. And I've had no contact with the property owner.
Hey, what did you say, $100 per day?
Yes, sir.
All right. Based on the inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondents the sum of $100 per day commencing April 4, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the fine has reached the sum of $20,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 5, O'Neill Family W&H LP.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, code enforcement inspector with the city of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG 031241, O'Neill Family W&H LP. Property address is 755 Berkshire. Violations were exceeding the scope of the permits. The building department has revoked all the permits on the property. There have been no new permits pulled or applied for. The city is asking for $75 per day to be capped at $15,000.
I take it this place had fire damage?
Honestly, I don't know what damaged the property, but it looks worse now than before. They began to touch it
again. The photos I looked at, including some of the fire damage that was in the materials I was given, is this something that can even be rehabbed?
My personal opinion, the property needs to be demolished, but property owner and whoever he has working for him seems to think they can rehab it. clearly the building department, after they saw the pictures that I took, revoked their permits for exceeding the scope because they were just supposed to be renovating. But as you can tell, they might as well be building in the property.
Wasn't there some regulation or rule that if
the 65% rule,
the cost of repairs was going to exceed a certain percentage of the value of the property, then it was demolition versus...
Agreed. That's correct, but unfortunately, the building department gets to make that call.
We don't compel that. What it is, as we tell this, that by rule, all of the current codes would trigger, and so we'll put them in a place, position where it wouldn't be cost-effective to try and rehab, because it ultimately would require to meet all of the code standards, pretty much a rebuilding. So from that perspective, yeah, rebuild is the ultimate outcome, generally, when a person building a property exceeds the 65%.
All right. In any event, exceeding the scope of permits, notified in February, hasn't done anything since?
No, sir.
And you're recommending $75 per day?
Yes, sir.
Until it reaches, what did I hear you say, it's 15?
15, yes.
Based on our inspector's report, I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $75 per day, commencing April 4, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance, or the fine reaches the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 6, ADJ and SRJ Investments, LLC. All right, gentlemen, if you would please go ahead and be sworn.
Brian Bowers.
Darren Jafferty.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide, the truth, and the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
215 Kingston Avenue, Green Building, Units 1 through 5. All right. We talked about that last month. Life safety issues to be resolved by April 4, full compliance by May 2. And I guess we need to hear from our inspector. Did we resolve all life safety issues by April 4?
Per the building inspector, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, per the fire inspector.
Okay. And full compliance May 2. Failing out of requirement. All right. So, why are we here today? Is this a different batch of violations?
The compliance date for May is set for the total compliance of the property, which occurred from the operation trailer hitch. Prior to that operation, this property had violations on them that were cited. Since all of this, we have decided that rather than break all of this up in 50, 100 different cases, the 215 property, their ultimate compliance date is going to be from May 2nd. All of the violations have to be corrected. Rather than take a little bit from this case, deal with it, take a little bit from that case. The main case, the entire property is going to be reviewed for the compliance date of May 2nd. And if not, then we'll be talking about some pretty hefty fines.
Okay. What are we hearing on today? This says imposed fine if not compliance with life safety issues.
The life safety issues have been complied with.
So on this case, I think we don't. And now, since we got nothing to do off.
That's correct. We won't be imposing a fine for life safety issues. Correct.
Okay. Case number 6. I'm finding ADJ and Sour J Investments LLC are in compliance with regard to the life safety portion of the outstanding or pending order of noncompliance. And that is all the business to be had with regard to that. Case number 7, ADJ and SRJ Investments LLC. Jimmy, are you appearing on behalf of that case as well?
I believe so, yeah.
All right, 215 Kingston Avenue, Beige Building, Units 6 through 10. Again, Mr. Inspector, is the respondent in compliance with life safety issues?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I guess you don't have anything to say?
I do have something to say, but I don't know. Huh. I don't know what John's doing today and what he's not. Like I said, this has been confusing since the start because I'm running in front of code enforcement issues and then trying to bring the property down to 6 units and open it up. So I feel like at times I'm fixing things that are kind of contradictive.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't say anything at all. I don't know. I'm just trying to, you know, pull this. I'm trying to pull this all together. It's not easy.
I take it you're not disputing that you're in compliance with the life safety issue.
No, not whatsoever.
15 Kingston, Beige Building.
Uh-huh.
All right, and as to that portion of our pending order of noncompliance, I find the respondent to be in compliance. Case number 8, ADJ and SRJ Investments, LLC, 215 Kingston Avenue, Burgundy Building, Units 11 through 15. I assume you gentlemen, once again, are appearing as respondents in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the issue here is whether there's to be a fine imposed for noncompliance with life safety issues. Mr. Inspector, what's the status of life safety issues?
Per the fire inspector, he's in compliance.
Okay. Then, as far as case 8 is concerned, I'm finding that the respondents are in compliance with the life safety portion of the pending order of noncompliance. Okay. Now, I'm going to be gracious to Ms. Gonzalez and let Mr. Jafruti have the floor here for a moment. We have a big date coming up, May 2. How are we doing? Let's use the time for a progress report, if nothing else.
How are we doing? Okay.
And let me hasten to add, you're not due to be done until May 2. You're not mm-hmm. being penalized in any fashion.
Well, I mean, that's where I'm running into.
I can hear from your grumblings.
No, I'm not grumbling. I'm just saying.
Second. Let's start by letting me finish my sentences. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was just curious as to what kind of progress has been made and how you're doing. That's all I wanted to ask.
Okay. We have the exterior stuccoed work done. We have the painting work done. We have the doors done. Okay. The windows still have some touch-up because we had previous problems with somebody demolishing them. There's actually a pre-trial going on today. Okay. We're beginning to open up the walls. All right. The tenants are vacating the property. We have one tenant that's being relocated because she has cancer. Two others are going to be the eviction's being filed. Okay. And we'll try to work through this.
Right,
we were actively working. We're going to be close. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard.
Right.
I mean, I am making an effort.
Mr. Inspector, how does it appear as though we're coming? Are there areas of concern that you have that we should forewarn Mr. Jafruti of, that maybe he needs to concentrate his efforts, or does it appear as though he's on pace to be done by May 2? I don't really want any surprises on May 2. If the man's not going to make it, I want him to know why.
I believe that one of the building inspectors would be better equipped to answer that question. In my personal opinion, he's still got a lot of work to do.
A lot of work in any particular areas, or just overall?
A whole lot of work.
All right, good enough. Okay, all right, Mr. Jafruti, I guess that's all we need to do for today. So good luck, and hopefully you'll have everything in compliance by May 2.
I hope so. I'm trying.
All right, well, just be careful. If I were you, it's a big project.
Yeah.
A lot of potential for a lot of things to fall between the cracks. I were you, I'd make put a little effort into documenting what you do and when and all the efforts that you're going to, so that if you do fall short on any particular area, we know that you did everything you could to get it done. Mm-hmm. So you just might want to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. All right, good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we're returning to case number one, the lien review. Gloria Gonzalez. Who's the inspector that will be speaking to this?
Morning, sir. The inspector on this case is Michael Fitzgerald, and he's not in, so I will be presenting this. This property was in violation back in 2007. The property has been brought into compliance. It has switched hands. Apparently, there was a legal battle between estates, and Ms. Gonzalez picked it up. My understanding is on a tax roll deed. She's improved the property. She's brought the property up into compliance. The current fine is maxed out at $15,000. She's asking to have the entire fine waived. At this point, staff recommends this case has been going on since 2007, all the time and effort, that we reduce the fine to $1,500.
Okay, do we have any idea why Ms. Gonzalez is not here?
No, sir. I tried to call her presenting the matrix, short of something happening.
But you had prior contact with her?
Yes.
And she was well made aware of this.
She knew when the hearing was and what and requested and worked diligently to get the paperwork in quickly because she just there was just a reinspection on March 30th. So I don't know, maybe she thought the paperwork was enough and she didn't need to be here or was confused by that. I don't know.
All right, well, let me ask a few hypothetical questions. With the city's preference, first off, typically, if the respondent doesn't show up, I just deny the lien request.
Correct.
And I'm not adverse to doing that this time as well. But I guess it just causes me to wonder, does the city want to leave the $15,000 lien out there, or does the city want to come up with a figure that it realistically thinks this lady may pay, because she's only going to have a 30-day window to pay it. So she's either going to pay whatever we determine to reduce it to, because I'm not inclined to waive it, or the $15,000 lien remains. Now, theoretically, what's the city's preference in this area? And I'm not talking about this case in particular. I'm talking about cases in general. Because sometimes I know these long, outstanding, accrued liens that seem to have little or no chance of ever being collected actually come back to be a bit of an embarrassment. And actually, I've seen it being a political football as to why the building, the zoning department has just gone out and collected all this money that's been accruing in unpaid liens. So. And there may be policy matters that keep us confined here anyway, so I thought I'd ask.
After speaking with counsel, the past practice has been normally to just give them the 30 days. However, in this instance, if we reduce it based on the former amnesty program, which is not in effect now, but using that as a guide by, we reduce the fine to $1,500, make that as the actual fine now, and then she'd be allowed 30 days to pay. If not, then you know she'll be turned over to collection, and then they'll go after the $1,500.
inspection. I don't know if giving it a 30-day period would, I mean, from the magistrate, I guess giving it a 30-day timeline without a reversion time would trigger us into setting it for connections.
Well, and again, and I don't mean to be difficult, if we're going to leave a $15,000 lien on this property, that seems incongruous. But at the same time, if we're going to try to help this lady and she doesn't do anything, and then a $15,000 lien is left on her property, I'm not going to lose a moment's sleep over that. And so my inclination is to come up with a number and give her 30 days. Probably a number that I would award even if she were here. And if she pays it, great. If she doesn't, then the $15,000 remains. It's not my intent to totally disrupt all these ordinances by just arbitrarily, you know, doing this, that, or what have you. And at the same time, she isn't here. It's her responsibility. All right, so I guess what I'm asking is, I'm prepared to deny the lien review request unless you tell me you want me to get proactive because for some reason you just want to create the opportunity to not have a uncollected $15,000 lien out there. For all I know, maybe you'll collect a $15,000 lien, but I'm going to toss you the ball and let you have what you want.
Okay. No, she's done. She's done.
The lien review or not?
Today's the review.
Mr. Kelly, I believe that we should go forward with this, and just in talking with staff, I think our general objective with these have been, once we made the maximum lien amount, we really did satisfy our concerns about liens becoming excessive. So the lien is at its maximum at 15. If it reverts back to the 15, from the perspective of the issue of our concern for excessiveness, that would be already resolved or remedied through our maximum lien process. So I think the court, the magistrate would be more than generous if, for the benefit of this respondent, if you made a ruling and gave them the time to comply. From the perspective of the city as a whole, I think we benefit and we have a desire to see this case, and I think it should be a case-by-case basis, but in this case, the facts suggest someone who improved the property and left it in a state that would be satisfactory to the extent that we would want to see a remedy. And so since a remedy is being offered up, we're not having anyone here to challenge or present an opposing position. We would like to just present a position that you grant whatever you choose in terms of the lien amount and then give them the period to resolve that. And if they fail to, then they're left with the amount just in the same manner as if they were present.
Again, to avoid being arbitrary, I've made this more complicated than I should have. I only have one party here, and quite frankly, they're being gracious to suggest a reduction at all. So that having been said, I'm done tinkering with the boundaries of my authority. Based on the city's overture, which I consider to be gracious, considering the fact that I don't have a respondent here to talk about what she would want or why, I'm going to go ahead and reduce the amount of the lien to the sum of $1,500, subject to being paid within 30 days. It's not paid within 30 days, and that reduction will be vacated, and the full $15,000 lien will remain in place. I am thereby deferring to the city what it chooses to do, should it hear from her sometime during the next 30 days, as far as the payment of that $1,500 or whatever it is y'all want to do for resolving. So that having been said, my little guidelines are intact. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Gentlemen, what you here for?
I was on the O'Neill family. He asked me to come in and bring his paperwork on the O'Neill family.
All right. Well, we've already determined that, and we have fined the O'Neill family the sum of $75 per day starting April 4th until they come into compliance. So someone from the O'Neill family needs to get in touch with the city of Daytona Beach and figure something out.
What happened is, he's been doing the paper.
All right, you can have him. Can you get sworn in?
That's all right. Come on up here. Thanks. You just need to get sworn in.
John Birch.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. All right, Your Honor, the it's just been transferred over into my name, so it's not the O'Neill family no more. It's I got the deed. I done registered the deed. That's what he was supposed to have been doing 2 months ago. I have the deed here. Everything is legal.
You have a quitclaim deed.
Yes, sir. But on top of everything, we had applied for a permit, and the city granted us a permit. The city of Daytona granted us a permit. I have it right here. We have a permit that was granted ever since last year. And they...
Okay. So what's the status of this right now, Tony?
Well, it's the deed in court.
Yes, sir. That's what we was waiting. He misspelled my name the first time he sent the letter. He misspelled the name on the deed a month ago. And then I had to go back, and he done it. He wrote a letter to Mr. Stinson and told him that he was at fault, not myself. And he found... Yes, I recorded it.
I'm sorry. When did you record it?
2 days ago. But last Friday, he sent it to me on Wednesday.
Okay, well, the position of the city on that as far as legally would be that he electively stepped in the shoes of the respondent, and I don't know if it would change anything, and I've asked my inspector, but other than that, he's electively stepped in the shoes of the respondent with the same obligations, and I know that Mr. Burks has been here previously regarding the property, so you know, now I want to specifically this property. Was he here on this property?
No, sir.
Okay. But would I still presume that there was a follow requirements of the statute that he had the knowledge necessary when he took on the property that what was required?
No, sir, I didn't. I have the requirements, Your Honor, is that we had a permit on that property, legal permit to start work. Only thing the city put on the paper was they put down, we started work on February. I just got a permit. Everything here is legal. The city gave me a permit. Time I started work, they said you not exceeded the scope of the work. And the house was in condemned ever since, 5 years, 10 years? So the city knew the house. So I'm doing a demo job for the city over on Revelo, over on the beach side. That's how all of that material got there, because they knew that it has a lot of good material, good lumber. And Mr. Stinson knew of it. The city knew of it. Ron was the head code enforcement. Not Ron. It was Crystal, the one that got laid off. So they gave me a permit, and I put on everything we was going to do. They came over to the house, looked at the house, said, no problem, Mr. Birch. Time we started work on the house, all of a sudden they showed up and say, start work order. They put a start work order. I got a permit on the, here's the permit right here. Have a permit on the house to do the total construction ever since the 1220. I have a permit to do the electrical.
1220 what year?
Of last year. I started working in less than a month. They came over and started posting start work order, and all I'm doing is cleaning the house out. Stucco on it, getting outside looking good, and then all of a sudden, the code enforcement steps in and say stop working, and all they put on there is extensive work, but they never told us what we was doing. And Mr. O'Neill and I, the city, the one filled out our permit. The young lady down in the building permit, she said,
okay, hang on a second. Did you buy this from the O'Neill family trust or whatever it is?
Yes, sir. What we was doing at first was he was holding the deed.
Pay them for this property?
He was holding the deed on the property. I was supposed to be doing the work on the property. And he was holding the deed on the property while I spent my money to fix it up. That's how, and on this way.
He's giving you a quitclaim deed.
Right. Well, the city came and changed it and said, no, you can't do it that way then. They gave us a permit, 1220. They gave, and the permit was ready ever since the 9th. Ever since September, I applied for the permit. The city had the permit down in their office. I didn't get paid until that last house until December. Then the city said, start work on the house. I put everything on this paper. You will see the paper right here. My name is right here as of the owner, meaning that it was sub-owner, meaning that he was holding the paper. The young lady down there sitting, Mr. O'Neill, all the paperwork. The city, the one, filled out this paper for me. They fill out the whole booklet, and my name is right here. They say start work. Time I started work, then Mr. Stenson started coming around and saying stop work. Then they sent the city officials there, and I'm like, well, why are you bothering me now when I have a permit? I have a permit. Then they put the extensive scope of work. They never said what I done. I've done nothing but clean up the property, start stucco on the outside. It was to put windows, doors, the roof was bad. They knew that. So I'm wondering why, you know, and the trash they talking about was off of that property. We trimmed the trees up. We done all of the, you know, the house was deplored. Inside, the people left all of their stuff on the inside. And all this stuff been left there for the last, 10 years? Ever since that house was in violation. So I didn't put nothing there. Only thing I brought in that house, in the back of that house, I brought lumber. And I ain't put nothing in the front but my two tubs. And the city said he was going to haul that trash off for me. And that's what they did. And the only start work order he put in, he put excessive scope of work. And he never said what I did. He gave me a permit. I started working in less than a month. Well, 2 months. They was already out there that next week. February the 2nd, right here. Oh, this, I can't understand it. I mean, I don't know why.
Mr. McCallum, if I could just say this for the sake of Mr. Birch, that we had the initial hearing, which he wasn't present for, and just a reminder for the magistrate and again for the sake of Mr. Birch, the testimony of the inspector is that what the problem was that it exceeded the scope of work, and I think that's what he's indicating is on a stop work order.
What does that mean, exceeded the scope of work? Well, Mr. Birch, with all due respect, I'm really not sure what your status is here just yet, but I'm trying to figure it out.
Yes, sir.
Be patient. Okay, what has exceeded the scope? Who is the permit issued to? Let me back up. Was a permit issued?
Yeah, a permit was issued, and the permit was issued for remodeling of the residence. Okay. However, Mr. Birch has taken the remodeling and has entirely gutted out the entire house, the roof, the doors, and so forth. That's one. Number two, the property at that time belonged to Mr. O'Neill. The permit was given to Mr. Birch. How, I don't know, because according to Florida State statute, a homeowner can pull permits if he lives there in that home. However, if you don't live in that home, you need to hire a licensed contractor. Mr. Birch is neither. He doesn't live in that home, and he's not a licensed contractor. Building official was made aware of that, as you saw in the letter that I presented to you, as well as with an email that he sent to me personally, is that he's done work outside of the scope of the work, and the permit was pulled. We're now trying to see if the building official can come up here. Clarify things from Mr. Birch, but you know, Mr. Birch will not be able to continue to do the work in that property, whether he owns it or not. He's going to have to hire a licensed contractor through the state. So, with that being said, I don't know if I've clarified what the outside of the scope you know, how he exceeded the work permit that he had.
Can I say one thing, John? That's not being the homeowner. They told me I could do the work as being the homeowner. Am I right? Being the homeowner. I am the homeowner.
Remodeling inside, not gutting out the whole house.
As of the homeowner of the city of Daytona, if I'm the homeowner of that house, I was issued a permit. Well, here it is right here, Your Honor. If you look at it.
Can I see that deed again, please?
I've been doing work for, I build new houses, Your Honor, and I've been doing work. I have electrical, building, every kind of permit there is to do the work on that house. I don't understand that. This is crazy. Mm-hmm.
He had the permit.
John, can you look at this, please?
I'm looking for the deed. That's all I want to see is the deed.
Right here.
Okay. Mr. O'Neill quick claimed this to you 13 days ago, is that right?
If you look at these papers, Mr. O'Neill and the city had came up. The building inspector, the building officials down here in Daytona, they had filled out all of this paperwork. The building official filled out.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it.
They put my name is right on here. They told us how to do it. The building inspector, the one, told us how to do it. My name appears that he said leave it in your. He said he wanted to leave it in his name. That was ever since last year. The Daytona Beach Building Department told us how to do it, send him the paperwork, email him the stuff to do, and everything. And my name, if you look, it appears right there on the scope of the work. And it said roofing, plumbing.
Is this Mr. O'Neill's signature all over this permit application?
Yes, sir. The young lady sent it to him. Miss, the black girl down in the building department dealt with him directly, and she the one filled the paperwork out. If you look at the papers and all, told him what to do. And I came in.
Okay, in September of 2011, mm-hmm. Mr. O'Neill fills out a building permit application that says he's the owner, and he's the contractor, and he's remodeling the residence. On its face, that's probably all accurate and legitimate.
And on the paperwork there has John
Then Birch. We go to a roof supplemental form.
The permit was ready ever since September. I didn't pick it up until December, until I got paid, because I was working for the city of Daytona. And I pulled it on all the other papers.
And the permit is obtained in December.
Yes, sir.
To O'Neill, once again listed as the owner and the contractor. Work has been done by somebody other than the owner. The contractor.
You look
that
at
would
the,
be you.
Look at the other paper, John. You see, he is
building department has determined the scope of the work exceeded the permit. Before you arrived, we determined all of those facts were true and correct, and I haven't heard anything that changes them yet, and fined the O'Neill family for failing to come into compliance. You are now here. You're not a contractor. So you can't do all the work that has to be done there. You weren't an owner when any of these things were taking place. I don't even know that you're an owner now, because what you have is a quitclaim deed, not a warranty deed. Quitclaim deed means the O'Neill family or the O'Neills are relinquishing their interest in the property, whatever that may be, to you. Now, I assume that means they're giving you ownership status, but it's a different kind of deed. It's not a warranty deed. Nevertheless,
my name appears right on the papers right there. If you look right there, John Burke, the
yeah,
papers right
it.
Here.
Right here, all over this.
Right, my name up here, all over there. They told us how to do it.
That doesn't make you an owner.
No,
it doesn't make you a contractor.
The city told he was going to hold ownership there in September. The city of Daytona told us exactly what to do. And that's whenever they issued us a permit. The permit was ready ever since September. It was issued the same way that the city of Daytona told us to do it. We done it exactly like that. She contacted Mr. O'Neill. She dealt with Mr. O'Neill directly. Mr. Birch was down here. And as of the, and I done exactly what the city asked me to do. And I've done my, and then I didn't pick up the permit until December. The permit was ready ever since September. So everything was done through the city of Daytona. Once I got my permit, as a paid for, I paid for it, I started work. What is the scope of work?
You keep saying once you got your permit. This is not your permit. Okay?
The permit was for John Birch at the house.
Well, it doesn't say John Birch. I don't know how many times I can, I mean, is John Birch on this permit somewhere? You show me where your name is and I'll take your word for it. I see a permit issued to the owner, O'Neill Family, contractor, O'Neill Family. I see your name on a roof supplemental form.
And it's on the other
form. You're listed, I see your name next to contractor.
That's the way the young lady.
I don't understand because you're not a licensed contractor, they tell me.
With a resident, if it's your residence, you could do all of the work.
Okay, you and I are going to keep going round and round all day long here. Okay.
Well, can we ask the official, being the attorney, he knows that I can do it, being the owner. They told us to leave it like that. Being the owner, meaning that he said I was on the papers.
Is today the first notice that we have to the effect that he's the owner?
Yes.
He claims an ownership interest? So this is the first time we're hearing it.
This is the first time we're hearing his claim of ownership interest.
Understand. Okay.
But I talked to Mr. Ron, the building inspector, a month ago. He said, John, you need to put it in your name. That's when he talked to Mr. O'Neill. Mr. O'Neill sent me a deed to talk to Mr. Stimson. The deed was, he done it wrong. He spelled the name wrong. That's why he sent the letter. That he sent the letter stating that it was his fault, and then that's why I came. You know, it took a while, y'all would come back to court, and then I sent it back to him, and that's when I just registered the deeds and everything was legally, the way that it's supposed to be. And then Ron told me to bring that to him once it's registered, and they were issuing me my permit.
All right, let's switch gears here for a moment. Let's assume this case is open, and Mr. Birch has just notified us that he's the new owner. We would ask him to be joined in the case as a respondent. And at that point, once he satisfied the city that he did in fact have ownership, we would probably be discussing with him what it would take to come into compliance. So let me shift gears for a moment here, since I think I know all I need to know up to this point. What is it going to take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Speaking with the inspector.
Assuming now, and I'm only assuming, that he's an owner.
Right. Speaking with the inspector, compliance, the only perspective of compliance that this inspector was able to see is demolition based upon the condition of the structure and our understanding of the 65% rule, which is the rule pursuant to Chapter 1 of the code related to, I don't know what it's related to, but rule for property development. With that being understood, that he can come into compliance within 30 days for demolition of the rule.
Just for my benefit, what you're talking about is the policy that if it's going to cost more than 65%, please correct me when I say this wrong, of the assessed value, and as far as the city's concerned, it's unrepairable and needs to be demolished in order to come into compliance.
That's
correct.
That's correct.
Okay, now let me back up. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it, but there is a policy in the city that if a structure or a building is so damaged, and this one's pretty damaged, but if it is so damaged that it's going to cost the reasonable cost of repair is going to exceed 65% of the assessed value, then it's considered basically beyond hope, and the only compliance at that point is demolition. Yeah. Now, I mention this to you because if we join you in as a respondent, if we treat you as an owner, all we've really done is invited you to the table. Once you're there, then you're going to be confronted with what you need to do to come into compliance. And the first hurdle you're going to have to clear before you even talk about doing any remodeling is whether or not you're going to be able to satisfy that threshold. Because if the city convinces me it's going to cost more than 65% of the assessed value of that property to do the repairs, then the only compliance that you're going to be allowed is demolition. That's why, and so I don't even know if you want to step into this as an owner.
Yes, sir.
Given those circumstances.
I would like to step in it because it's not right. They knew the structure. All I'm asking you to do is look at the facts. This house has been sitting here for years.
And that would explain why it's in such horrible condition.
When I first pulled the permit, I went to attempt to buy the property. The city came out, the code enforcement came out, and this, what's sad is that whenever they come to court, it's like they've been targeted. They gave me a permit. They came out and assessed that before they even gave me a permit. So why would you come to court and keep treating me like they came out of that property on numerous occasions? So if you knew that structure, I have done nothing but upgrade the structure. And I don't understand why all of a sudden you issue a man a permit. I start work. They knew all of the circumstances. And one thing about it, Young, I don't have to lie to you. Because I was working with the city. The only way that lumber got there, they knew that I was still more in a house. They knew I was moving off the ragged house on Orange Avenue. So they knew that. I put that stuff there. Mr. Stimson knew it directly. And it's a shame that they will come and they will look at you and they will act like they don't. I deal more with a nice house on Reveler. I've done my job. The object of me taking a board down one at a time was to fix that house. And they knew that. I told them directly in the office. And what's the shame is that they knew that my family had the house here. And they knew that's what the house was in question. They knew I was moving. I started. They said, you're a demo contract. They gave me four houses to demo. I done just what the city asked me to do. I took a board for board. It took me almost 4 months. But I took that two-story house down. I took the lumber. I took the material. And I worked with the police department and everybody else. Then all of a sudden, when I'm working, they say, go work. And then all of a sudden, they came out of that property before they issued that permit. I didn't just give Mr. O'Neill that. They knew all our circumstances before they issued that permit. That permit been down in the city for almost 4 months. You see that? So why would you give me something? Then I start work, and then all of a sudden you got all these rules where you can't do this. What did I do? They said it exceeded the scope of the work. What did I exceed for cleanup?
Okay. All right, Mr. Inspector, the nature of the violation is work exceeding the permit. Regardless of, anyway, how much time should it take the respondent to come into compliance?
By the next cutoff.
Next cutoff, you would realistically expect him, the owner, whoever that may be, to have theoretically whatever permits, assuming they're going to be issued, would be required to go forward with construction.
Yes, sir.
It would be a reasonable amount of time.
To obtain the permits for the demolition. That is a reasonable amount of time.
Instead of saying demolition, I'm not demolition.
Why don't you let me talk for a minute? Because quite frankly, I'll do you more good than you will. So just hold on a second, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. What if man disagrees that demolition is the only option? How much time should it reasonably take to come into compliance if obtaining the permits to remodel, repair, rehab, whatever? Because apparently there's a disputed issue of fact here as to whether or not it's going to meet that 65% level, because this gentleman isn't going to agree that it does. So all I want to know is just what are the ranges, how much time, if it's a demo permit, how much time if it's a remodel permit?
For the demo permit, it should be 30 days. For the remodeling, the permit is good for 6 months, and that's all we're going to get.
The question is, how long does it take you to obtain a permit?
She would have to come in with architectural plans and everything else.
We're that's just area
between 45 days to 60 days in order to obtain a proper permit. 45 to 60 days in order to obtain.
But we're not remodeling, I think, has already been established as something that can't happen, Mr. Vukelich. I mean, the permit would have to be something greater than a remodeling permit. That's the status we're in on the first ruling.
Whatever the status is, the city can educate this gentleman, and they can work out whatever's going on here. Because what I am hearing is there's a lot more communication between this gentleman and the city than just would appear from what paperwork I'm looking at, but that's for y'all to concern yourself with. All I'm hearing right now is a property owner who says, I want my property, I want time to come into compliance. He's complaining about a lot of things that have transpired up to this point that he doesn't like, but I'm going to take him at his word when he says he's the property owner. And so my inclination, I haven't done anything just yet, my inclination is to treat him as a property owner who wants to come into compliance. You say demolition, fine. You say it's going to exceed 65%, that's your opinion. He says he's going to rehab it. He says it's not going to take 65% or more to do it. That's his opinion. We'll have a formal hearing on it. And I'll make a determination if I have to, if the city and the gentleman can't work it out by themselves. So, that having been said.
Mr. Couch, if I could just say one thing or another thing. I just have some great concern if we grant him a time period that's a 4-month or a 6-month time period before he addresses. Okay. Well, I'll leave it alone.
Okay. All right. We had previously entered a ruling on case number 5, O'Neill Family W&H Limited Partnership, case number SMG0312-41. I believe the ruling was going to be a fine, or was a fine in the amount of $75 per day commencing April 4 and continuing until the respondent was in compliance, where the fine reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurred first. All right, after rehearing this matter, at the request of Mr. Birch, who represents to us that he is now the property owner and has been since having received a quitclaim deed on or about March 28, 2012, I am vacating our previous order. Mr. Birch is stipulating to him being named as a respondent in this matter, correct, Mr. Birch?
Yes, sir.
All right, and then with that, I will add, and so I'm going to order the case be amended to add Mr. Birch as a respondent. Based on the testimony of Mr. Birch, as well as the presentation by the city, I am going to amend our pending order of noncompliance to allow the respondents to June 6, 2012 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, gentlemen, do you need anything more from Mr. Birch before we depart?
An address.
Yes.
Mr. Birch, our secretary needs your address where we can contact you and a telephone number we can reach you at.
755 Berkshire.
That's where you received mail?
Yes, ma'am.
You need any other information? Daytona Beach?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes, sir.
Zip code?
Yes, ma'am.
And a telephone number we can reach at?
That's a vacant house, sir.
Yeah, why are you getting mail? Where are you getting mail?
That's where I live at.
What do you mean that's where you live?
That's my property. That's where I put my Winnebago at. That's where I live at. That's my property. That's where I've been living at for the longest. And they know I'm moving off of Orange Avenue, Your Honor. They knew that.
That was why I purchased that property. And I was working with the city on that property. That's my address. And they knew that. I had my grill set up. I was not, Mr. Stencil? You tell the truth.
There wasn't no violation of a
Winnebago. I have a right to Winnebago. Can't have a Winnebago.
Did they deliver mail to 755?
Yes, sir. Everything is being transferred. I'm moving off of Orange Avenue and they knew that.
Okay, well, first off, you've just thrown the Winnebago into the equation.
They know what I drive, Your Honor. He knows what I drive. I don't have to try to hide from no man. He knows, don't I drive a Winnebago, sir? Yes, sir. I mean, that's what I drive. I only have a truck, not even a car. Bought me a raggedy, nice looking Winnebago, I call it. Just tell you the truth.
Okay, well, it's your case. If you don't get your mail, that's your problem.
Yes, sir.
It's your property. I don't know if the mailman throws it in the front yard, whatever he does, he does. Okay, phone number where we can reach you at?
386-868-9954.
And let me also add that in the interim, until a permit is obtained, I presume there's not to be any work to be done at this property. You want to maintain the exterior or not?
Just got to clean the exterior of that property. It's got all chunky with reconstruction debris all over the place. There's no permit.
Your Honor, I just want to say something. The construction debris is in the back, but I'll clean it up. But it's a lot right by me, in between me. It has garbage. It is totally deplorable. The city, I mean, I'm being honest, it is totally deplorable. I clean all the bushes, was headed all over Mason. And Mr. Stimson know that. Just a little lot that's got garbage and everything on it that they ain't bothered no one about. It just seemed like, and being honest, if you want me to be honest, it seemed like they got a hard on about bothering me for just doing what's right. They knew I was tearing that house down. No, I won't tear. I would have just got a bulldozer and crashed that whole house. And if the city would have told me that, I would have never got involved. They told us we could rehab the house, and then all of a sudden, it's the same thing. That's not fair.
Okay. That's right. Well,
and Mr. Stilson,
we're
never going
to
get
it. Adding any people to the order.
Leave it as. All right. Well, I'll let the city deal with the fact that the man is now living on the property in a Winnebago. That probably constitutes a host of violations in and of itself.
Yes. I'm not living on the street. That's the only place I have to go, Your Honor.
Okay, I understand.
That's all I'm trying to say to you. That's the only place that I have to go. And I'm not out there selling drugs or doing. I'm working with the city. I want to know what is their problem with me.
Okay, it's not a problem with you.
Yes, sir.
It's a problem with the property that, quite frankly, and I don't mean to be arbitrary here, looks to me like it needs to be bulldozed.
No, sir. That's the kind of problem that I do.
I appreciate the fact that you can turn a sow's ear into a purse, and I give you credit for the effort. I'm just putting you on notice that there are rules and regulations out there that you might run afoul of. So before you get any deeper, time or money wise, you might want to look into it, because if we reconvene here and you aren't able to get a permit, and they demonstrate that the cost of repair or rehabbing that facility is greater than 65% of its assessed value, then the only compliance that's going to be called for is going to be demolition. So think of this as a learning curve here. I don't care what anyone has done up to this point. You exist. You are now in my universe as of about 15 minutes ago as the owner of this property. And I'm treating you as such. I'm respecting your property rights. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. They're not happy. You're not happy. No one's going to be happy. Whatever. Now, all that having been said, I'm just trying to educate you before you get any deeper into this. I'm telling you, there are some rules and regulations out there, and I appreciate you trying to, you know, work a miracle with this property. But if it doesn't satisfy certain criteria, then you're better off devoting those efforts somewhere else than here. But you're a grown man. You do You do what you need to do. Now, as it stands right now, I've given you until June 6th of 2012 to get whatever permits you need to get. That means you're going to need to go over there and talk to them and figure out what has to happen. Okay? Because if you don't have those permits by June 6th, then I'm just going to order the property to come into compliance. And the only alternative you're going to have at that point is to demolish it. Or a fine will be put in place against O'Neill and now you, since you've stepped in as the respondent, for failing to come into compliance. So, all that having been said, I'm giving you time, I'm giving you the opportunity to get your permits, because you are the property owner. Now, you're going to have to deal with the city and either figure it out, or we're going to reconvene, and I'm going to make a decision as to whether this thing can be rehabbed or not. And in the meantime, you are probably also going to have to deal with the fact that I don't think you're allowed to live there on your Winnebago. But that matter is not before me today, so I don't need to be concerning myself with that. I know of it, but if they want to take action on that, that's their prerogative.
I understand, y'all. I really do. But the sad thing about it is, the city knew if they wanted to know. The
city's a big organization, and maybe some folks did know something, but quite frankly, we've been here talking about a half an hour, and I've had all you people giving me all this input, and I'm only beginning to understand it, so I don't know how you expect some desk jockey to know what's going on down there when they get confronted with, here we go, here's the quit claim, here's the roof supplemental form, here's the permit form, here's the building permit application, and that just scratches the surface as far as this piece of property is concerned, because you've got multiple owners on a property that probably needs to be condemned, and a lot of chatter that's taken place by which the owner may have acquired some rights, but that owner wasn't you at the time. But you're the owner now, so I'm enforcing your rights as they are.
Thank you very much, Ron.
Good luck to you. Hope to have those. And as difficult as it may be, you're going to have to talk to the city about what has to be done and how it can be done.
I don't have a problem. I communicated with the city from the get-go.
Why
I don't have a problem going there. Why don't they just tell the truth, though? I should be playing the people. Just tell the truth. I did.
All right. Good luck to you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think that concludes the regular agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.